The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Adam's getting a little more confident. He's singing every once in a while on the show.
It's good.
But it's one of those times where I feel...
Only when I totally fuck up
your
the
Your balls
names.
Go up into your stomach because...
Yeah, it's like one of the... It's the only time, actually, I can think of my life where I feel bad for making someone else feel better about something about the church. You know what I mean?
Dude, the worst part, too.
Usually, I feel good about, like, oh, come on. Yeah. And then they do something. I'm like, I feel so good. I made that person feel better.
Why did I
Now he sings, I'm like,
this.
Fuck, I should have just made him just... Yeah. Kept him feeling bad about it.
Keep encouraging it, and
I was listening to the episode we did the other day, and the
which one?
I can't. The one where I fucking said Warrant instead of Pink Floyd. What a douchebag move on my.
No, I felt kind of. I'm like, oh, well, you idiot. Like bro. A total like.
You had every
bully.
Right to fucking
dude,
throw the water.
Dude, what are you talking about? Warrant is so easily. You could totally think it might be Pink
dude,
Floyd.
Anything. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Anything. Warrant. I mean,
same era at least. Yeah. Fuck you, bro.
Dude, right. You know. So when's the last time? When's the last time? Because you have right now in your hand a speed stack.
When's
the last time you had a speed stack?
Well, let's talk
a
about
full
these.
Speed stack.
Let's talk about these. Right, it's actually been a really long time.
All right. Well, why don't you just not drink the whole thing?
Is this the tame version? Because I remember the old ones.
Well, the old ones used to have ephedra in them. These
well, let me read the ingredients. Let me
see. They're still pretty rocking though.
So in the on the ingredients are and of course let me see. Is it one? Okay, so it's one bottle. There's taurine, DMAE, citrulline, tyrosine,
DMT?
Evodiamine, bitter orange, which is sinifrin, yerba mate, which is just another type of caffeine, cocoa extract, guarana, acai berry. They put fucking acai in here.
Coca leaves.
White tea extract, ginseng, grapeseed, green coffee bean, and vinpicetine. So it's just a shit ton of stimulants.
Vinpicetine.
And let's see, the whole bottle... has 250 milligrams of caffeine plus that other stuff in there.
Fuck yeah.
So it's going to be strong, but not as strong as the ones we used to have.
Oh, no, because the other ones used to have all that, plus it had 25 milligrams of ephedra.
Ephedra alkaloids.
And it was all the ephedra. That
but we were also like...
seen to the future.
We were also 20 when we had the old ones, and now we're old, and so I have a bad feeling about this one. What is that thing called?
Totally drinking it.
The what are those things? Do we have the defibrillator in here now? Because I have a bad feeling.
I forgot to mount it on the wall.
We have all these old stories with the three of us going back to 24-hour fitness days, and we've talked about it on air about these drinks and speed stacks we have. We know they're poisonous for us. We don't drink them anymore. But I thought
I thought
due to all the good news that we've had this last week, that I thought and the big day that we have going on today, that it would be a celebratory for me to bring speed stack. Yeah, and I thought this would be real cool. And then Sal just totally fucking poo pooed on all of it. He's just like, I can't drink that anymore. I can't have that.
It hurts my IBF.
It makes my vagina flare up whenever I drink those.
I queef.
I was like, all right, bro, whatever. Justin and I and Doug. Well, Doug, Doug's scared to death because Sal's scared to death, so he won't touch it. So it looks like Justin and I are having two.
It's okay.
I can't wait till you pound that whole thing, and 35 minutes from now, when you have an anxiety attack, I'm going to just make fun of you. I'm going to periscope it.
I'll be like, in the corner over here, no.
I'll be like, well, hey, guys, we're on Periscope, and that guy in the corner is Adam and Justin cuddling together because they're scared. They hear things.
Yeah.
Well, truth be told, I was sitting at home waiting, killing, like I had like 30 minutes before I have to leave to come over here, right? And normally that's when I let my dogs out and do my business over at
which
my house.
Which is slang for jerk off.
Yeah. You let the dogs out.
Pretty much. But today.
Hey, Adam, what are you doing around letting the dogs out?
Yeah, ooh. Yeah.
We'll give you 10 minutes.
We gotcha.
Thank you.
We gotcha.
I passed out.
Dropping the kids off at the
so
pool.
So tired.
Why are you so tired?
Been up since 3:45, bro. I've already had a full day of work before you even woke up.
Bro, I wake up every fucking morning at 3 a.m. What are you talking about? I swear to God.
To take a piss, yeah.
And then I go back to bed. Yeah. But I still wake up at that time.
Okay. Yeah. That does count.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't wake up, but I always take a piss.
I thought, this is perfect. I'm dying. I'm tired right now. And we'll do the speed stack.
So you're going to crush the speed stack, be all weird, then crash later.
Get weird.
What are you going to do later after this? You done? Are you done with work?
Nothing significant. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
You're not working out today?
No, I'm going to work out today.
So you're going to drink this, crash, and then go to try to work out?
Yeah, I'll take a nap, and then I'll wake up later on, and I'll do it.
That's going to suck.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday, suck your workout.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
It's only leg extension day today. Anyway.
Yeah. Tuesday, Thursday is leg extension day. God. So, yeah, I try and do auxiliary stuff. I try and do my machine workouts on Tuesday and Thursday.
I lined up a lot of donkey kicks and adductor machine.
Oh, I got something for you. That's the story I was going to tell you guys. So I took a picture of it. I'll send it to you guys.
Oh, what?
So this kid's at Gold's yesterday. The Gold's that I work out.
Yeah.
They're wheeling out the abductor and adductor machines.
They're taking them out?
They're taking them out, right?
Like a monumental day in history.
So what are they replacing them with, though?
Listen. So this kid's rolling them out. And I asked him, can I take a picture of this real quick? And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And so I'm taking a picture of him rolling out because I was like, I'll do a post later on about how stupid these machines are, right? And so I tell – and I could tell he was like wondering why I'm taking a picture. So I told him, I'm like, you know, finally you guys get rid of these worthless machines. And he's like, well, you don't like to work your abductors and adductors out? And I said, well, yeah, I do. I said, but there's probably 100 other more effective exercises in the gym to do besides that machine. He's like, oh, well, because we're replacing them with new ones. I said, you know what? The only reason why those machines are any good whatsoever is that you guys have strategically placed them facing the squat rack. So when hot chicks come in and squat, they're actually worth doing. That's the only time it's worth doing that exercise. Otherwise, it's pretty much worthless.
That's why you put them in front of the mirror.
Yeah, you just put them right and in front as you walk in.
They're in a good spot. They face the squat racks, like I said. That's good. If I'm going to do them, that's why I'm like, oh, okay, today might be an abductor day.
Abductor day.
Abductors.
Yeah, waste of time machine. Yeah. Well, you know, they should just wheel those out, wheel out pretty much every other machine that's in there.
Easy.
You're right. They are easy.
Mr. I fucking work out with just stones. Stones and stones.
You know what?
Boulders.
No. I do use machines. I probably use every workout one or two machines. But it's usually because I'm feeling kind of like, you know, tired or, oh, I'm going to go easy today. So I'm going to use a little bit of I'll use a hammer strength or, you know, I'll throw it in there. But come on, man.
I mean, come on.
When you got rocks, come on, bro. Dude. When you can lift logs, lift the logs.
It's log.
Remember that commercial?
It's log. It's big, it's heavy, it's wood.
It's big, it's heavy, it's wood. Did you ever watch that?
No. What is that?
That's from Ren and Stimpy.
It's log, it's big, it's heavy, it's wood.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I was never a Ren and
Stimpy. It's better than bad. It's good.
I was a Garfield guy.
Garfield had a cartoon.
Garfield's a horrible cartoon.
That's not funny at all.
Dude.
That's the least funny cartoon.
I like lasagna.
It's so stupid, right?
Dude, it's sarcastic, bro. How do you guys, for as sarcastic as we are, I'm surprised you guys aren't Garfield.
Yeah,
fans,
but he's like a weak sarcastic. It's not really that funny. Like,
okay, on the count of three, what's your favorite cartoon, real quick? What is it? First cartoon.
I like Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy wins big time.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, dude, yeah. Ren and Stimpy was weird.
Dude, Powdered Toast Man.
Powdered Toast Man.
And then he'd like
just come on. Like,
and he'd fly backwards.
He farts the sprinkles on top of the toast.
I feel like.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
Who does that?
That's whoever invented that.
That was his superpower.
Was so smart.
He farts.
Yeah. And then those adults.
Cinnamon sprinkles.
Yeah. And then they'd have the adults you never saw above their legs, but their knees were covered with like. What were those like bottle nipples?
It was so gross. Like they do like the close-ups, and then you'd see like rotten teeth and like pimples.
Yeah, dude.
And,
what does Garfield do?
Wait a second here. Wait a second. Ren and Stimpy. We're too old for Ren and Stimpy. Ren and Stimpy. I mean, we would be in high school. What the fuck are you guys doing watching cartoons in high school still?
You don't watch cartoons in high school?
No.
What were you doing in high school?
Definitely not watching cartoons. Doing more grown-up stuff like video games.
I definitely watched Ren and Stimpy.
I showed my kids the other day. And I forgot how gross that cartoon was.
It's gross.
I'm showing my son, and I'm like, I should take this.
Oh, my God. What did you want to talk about? Oh, you know what? Again, no introduction. We need to be more. Doug, could you fucking keep us on point with this?
Well, I was going to come in with.
Sorry, Adam.
Yeah, you see, I'm Adam.
Massive intro.
So the guy who's wearing jeans from 1997, who you just heard talking, is Adam Schaefer.
He's actually might be from there.
They are. Are those
Jenko
jeans?
Holy today.
Are,
not,
no, are they Jenkos?
No, bro, you wore Jenkos, not
that,
me.
Yeah, you were the only one that admitted that one. I wore the Zumbaz though, which was embarrassing.
Oh my god, dude.
God, that was
cross colors.
I loved MC Hammer.
That's Justin who's talking.
Yeah, Hello. Thanks, Doug. Hello, everybody. I wore Zumbaz pants. Yeah, who didn't do that?
And
pick up the hammer.
And this is Sal Tripod DiStefano.
Yeah.
So what did something drop over there?
Yeah, that was one of my clubs.
Okay. The other thing that I want to tell everybody too
is, I thought it was a bearded lady.
We've only mentioned a couple times too is our handles on social media. So
where you can find us.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we've been posting that relates to the podcast, and there's a lot of
fitness and shit talking that
goes on amongst all of us, and some good info. Sal likes to post a lot of helpies. So if you want to find any of us, you can find us at you can find Sal at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. You can find me at Mind Pump Adam. And Doug even has a bunch of nude pictures on his at Mind Pump Doug. Mm-hmm. So if he
and Mind Pump.
Yeah, then the actual Mind Pump page.
Where he tucks it between. Yeah. So I had an idea that I wanted something I want to talk about. So I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine who's having some challenges with their business. And
what kind of business is it?
I don't want to go into too much detail because I think they're a very private person. But they're just having a lot of challenges. Like, they started a new business.
You can't even tell us the business?
They started a new business. All right, I'll go into it. Photography business. Started a photography business. Okay. And just getting overwhelmed. You know how it is when you first start a business. You feel like you take two steps forward and they take three steps back. Needing more work, but she busts her ass. She works very, very hard. Then she feels like she can't catch up because she's also got two kids and another job that actually pays the bills. And so I started telling her about some of my challenges because I think sometimes people sees other successful people and think to themselves, well, God, they just got where they were and they didn't really hit any huge challenges or any big roadblocks.
Right.
And it's never true.
No.
And so I thought maybe it's a good idea if we share some of our personal failures, where we have tried something and come up short and maybe, I don't know, how that changed you or maybe it didn't. I don't know. Why don't you start, Adam, since you have the most.
Nice.
I'll have you know before we started this, and you said
that
Doug's like, I don't think Adam's failed at anything, actually.
I got no stories. I'm
let's see, where do I start here? Since my life is full of failures.
No, actually
this is a cool topic, and it's a cool topic. And I've talked a lot about this, not on the podcast so much, but it is something that I share with people because I did not have the easiest path ever growing up. I didn't have anything handed to me, and so everything was a struggle for me. And there was lots of failures along the way. And at one point, you have to learn to actually almost enjoy it, as weird as that sounds. And I think it's the people that that fail and then never tend to succeed are the ones that they get broken by that. They fall down or they run into a robot. I always like to look at the positive in every scenario, right? So a failure is only really a true failure is if you don't learn from it or you don't grow from it. And I believe that every failure and every experience like that is a success, because even if you failed at doing it, you learn something about yourself or you learn something new about business or whatever it may be. And, so I've had lots of businesses that I've tried to start that, didn't go very, very well or very far. And, to me, it was just a learning experience. And a lot of it was about myself, maybe that wasn't, I wasn't passionate enough about something, or, maybe it was, not the right timing or, for that business or whatever it may be. And maybe when you get going and stuff like that, I'll come up with some specifics. But one that comes to mind, I had a business that I started. I bought a mobile detailing business, and I've always had a career or something I was doing as far as work, and then I always had side businesses that I did because I was always in search of more income. And this business, I thought, man, this is a brilliant idea. I'm going to do this mobile. And it was, I think I paid, I want to say a couple $1,000 to buy it. So there wasn't much to it. It was just like a trailer hitch and all the supplies you needed and the power pressure washer. And it could hitch right at that time. I had a Chevy truck that I could just hitch it to and I could take it places. And the ultimate plan was, since I worked a 9-to-5 type job, this was when we were working at the gym, was that I would I'd hire people to do this. And I would set up all the relationships and set the deals up. And then I would pay, you know, two or three guys, you know, X amount of dollars to go wash the cars. And then I would just make a small cut of that. And since there's no time off my back, really.
It's just extra money.
Yeah, just extra money, right? Even if it wasn't a ton of money. Well, the problem that I ran into was, just like any business, that it, you know, to get it really going and making enough revenue and stuff like that to make worthwhile, I had to put a lot of sweat into it myself. So I found myself after work and on weekends and my day off, I would be out fucking washing all these cars because I knew that I had to generate enough revenue. I couldn't find anyone that wanted to work for 3 hours a week, you know, or I could find part time like that just to and a random, because people would want their car washed sometimes at 4 o'clock on this right. day. And so I was like, man,
this it's always so much harder than it seems, right?
It does. Yeah. You know, in my mind, when I first thought, I thought, oh, this would be so easy and I'll set this all up. And, you know, it was quite the struggle. And I did it for a while. And I was, like I said, I was finding myself working and doing it, and I was making extra good money. And I mean, I was, you know, it was, I would cater to high end cars. So if you had like a really nice, you know, a Corvette or something like that, and I would come to your work and then get a detail while you're working. So it was quite the deal. And it was, I made good money off of it. It's pretty much purely profit other than the soap and things I had to do. And I'd fill the water up actually at the work that I used to work at. Probably wasn't supposed to do that, but I'd use the soft water.
Don't worry, that bridge is burned.
Yeah, right. I mean, soft water from that
Can't
company.
Really fall back on that now.
And, you know, long story short, you know, at one point I finally kind of bit the bullet and said, okay, this isn't working. This isn't for me. And if I really wanted to probably be successful at that business, I'd have to sacrifice the one that I was currently doing. And it just didn't make sense, because I was making way more money working at 24 Hour Fitness than I was washing cars, nor did I really want to wash cars. So I ended up selling the business, and I sold it for three times what I bought for, because I actually had a little bit of clientele mm-hmm. built up, and I convinced some other poor schmuck that it was a great idea, that, you know, because I thought it was such a great idea. It was just time consuming.
That sounds like a great failure.
Well, I mean, to me, it was a it was a business that failed.
He didn't read the directions.
It's okay. It'll come to him later.
It was a business that failed. That
He's
I feel
like I failed because I only made three times as much.
I mean, stupid. My failure.
All right, go. I'll get you a better failure in just a minute. That was the first one that came to mind.
They're still fruitful. What can I say? Fruitful failures.
Well, I had one more recently.
Oh.
Yeah. So, so you guys know, I just recently, I guess about a year ago now, I sold my personal training studio. And in this studio, this is a studio that I started after I left corporate fitness. Not right after, because after I left corporate fitness, I went into finance and was bored out of my brain and ended up starting my personal training business. And so I had trainers working in there, massage therapists. And at one point, you know, when you own a small business, if you're growing or you're doing okay, you have to think to yourself, okay, now I have two options. Either I keep doing what I'm doing or I invest more and try to make it grow. And so I was at that point. And so I said to myself, okay, well, I'm gonna make another investment and try and grow this thing. And so about two doors down from my studio was another open spot. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to open up another spot. And in that spot, we're going to do group exercise. So like yoga, Pilates, meditation classes, you know, that kind of stuff. And that would bring me more of the EFT, you know, more of the residual monthly revenue, because people would pay me, you know, $80 a month there. And then on the personal training side, it's much more high, you know, high revenue but low volume. So I had my high volume, low revenue with the classes, and my high revenue, low volume with my training. So that was the plan. And it sounds great, right? Like, as I'm saying, it's like, that sounds brilliant. So I opened the place up, put a lot of money into it. But in order to continue financing it, I had to continue personal training a lot myself. So it failed. I lost probably about $60,000 in the business. Then I had to try to get out of the lease, because I had signed a 3-year lease, and this is only like a year into it. So I had to get, you know, 2 years left, which you're stuck with unless you find someone else to fill it. So I had to kind of negotiate with the landlord, do all that stuff. Very stressful time. And in the meantime, you know, while it's empty and I'm not making any money off of it, I'm trying to float an additional $4,000 a month by training more and more clients. At the time, my wife was working less. It was a very, very stressful time. It got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm going to have to kind of watch what I'm eating to save money. I couldn't take supplements anymore. And it was a big kick to the balls of my ego, you know, because my ego's got massive testicles.
Massive.
And they got stomped. You know what I mean? Like, you know when you get kicked in the balls and it just hurts your stomach and you feel like throwing up for a little
and
bit?
You go on the ground and you're in the fetal position and you cry.
And you cry. And it feels, when you get hit in the nuts that hard, to bounce back from it's difficult because of the pain and the fear that's left over. And it was recent. It was more recent that this happened. Like I said, it didn't work because I didn't put enough time in. I didn't have the time to put into it to really make it work. And I didn't. At that point, I didn't have any more money to just dump into it to continue floating it.
How is that different than my story?
Because you sold yours for a profit. You made some money.
Well, just because I turned a fucking failure into something good doesn't mean it wasn't a failure still.
Have a harder story than that.
let me do you guys a solid here. Yeah. Okay.
So, what I was going to say is...
Yeah, Fledge Sal finished before the biggest failure goes. Like,
they call me the overcomer.
The comer
of your mama.
Oh,
boom,
bing. No, so what I was gonna say is, when you have something like that, when you fail on a monumental level, you lose lots of money, especially when you're not alone. Like if I was a single dude, it's not that big of a deal. But when I had a wife, kids, right, home mortgage, and so you feel like you let the other person down because it's not just your money; it's their money too, right? And they believe in you, they trust you, and boom, I just blew all this money on this idea and this dream that I have. It's easy to imagine how hard it is to take another chance after that. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. Here's the deal with life. Because that's not my first business that didn't work. And I won't be the last business that doesn't work. I guarantee you there's going to be something that I'm going to try that's not going to succeed in the future. Because why? I swing the bat. Mm-hmm. And I realized something as a kid, that life will pitch you as many balls as you want. As many balls as you're willing to swing at. And so if I strike with a hard swing in my bat, if I never swing again, that's what I'm left with. That's the last time I was at bat. The last time I was at bat was a strikeout. Well, fuck that. I'm not going to go out that way. And so that's the attitude that I had. So I sold it. You know, I got back on my feet. And then I met Doug. We started training together, put together the MATS program. Obviously, we're doing Mind Pump now. So this is the next big thing. And I sold my gym. And this is on looks like the road to success, but you just got to keep swinging the bat. That's just the bottom line, because one thing that I'm 100% confident in myself is I will always be able to get on my feet and do something. Mm-hmm. So no matter how bad it gets, I'm never going to starve, because I know I work hard and I'll get up there and make it happen.
I love hearing you give a sports analogy. It's so great.
I saw Adam's face. He's like smiling through that whole thing.
I could not. I'm watching him like, he's going to fuck something up right now. He's going to say.
You know when you swing the bat and you make a touchdown?
Yeah, that's exactly. Like, he's going to say some shit right now.
just because I don't. Really,
if you keep swinging away at that bat, you're eventually going to get a goal. Yeah. I promise. Yeah.
Just because I don't watch sports that much doesn't mean I don't know the basics. Okay.
I love it.
Oh God, I love you, bro. I fucking love you.
I could give you.
Okay, before the failure goes, real quick, I want you
the
to
failure.
The overcomer.
the overcomer. That's what I meant to say.
You hit the wall, Justin. Yes, they call me the overcomer.
Now, from that scenario, though, what happened to you as far as what came of it, as far as a learning experience? What about relationships that were built?
100%.
Right.
100%. I wouldn't have met, Doug. I wouldn't have been doing this. I wouldn't have considered even selling my...
Oh, that's how you met Doug?
He was coming in
to do the group X
classes? No. He started training with me. he's like, but what I mean
I'm here for Zumba, $80 a month. Yeah. Sign me the fuck up.
Exactly. Exactly. But my point is, there's so many things that come out of it that are positive. Of course, it's always looking back. Look, when you're in the middle of a fail, all you're thinking to yourself is, this fucking sucks. I wish this would never happen. I guarantee you, if you have the mentality where you're going to continue pushing and going, either a different idea or maybe the same idea, just a different way, you will look back after all said and done. You'll say, I'm glad that happened. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. Look, every super successful person you'll ever meet who's self-made has failed hard and has failed hard more than you have.
Right.
That's the difference between a success and someone who never succeeded, is that they failed more times. That's a fact. It's a literal fact. Yeah.
This is not necessarily business related, but like the first like story that comes to mind for me, I always identified myself as, you know, a great, awesome athlete. Any sort of sporting event or anything I would take on, and I just was like, you know, fish to water. And so I excelled in football, and you know, I had all the accolades, all that kind of stuff in high school, and I had college recruits after me and people trying to get me to go to their college. And you know, I was at the time was getting distracted and had dropped, was failing chemistry. And this was a problem because I ended up not, you know, finishing all of my labs and getting a freaking F. And I've never failed any class.
That's weird because you are chemistry.
I am.
When I look at you.
Oh, we have chemistry.
Don't get Adam jealous.
You know,
keep going.
That was a dumb joke.
So you got an F.
That was a dumb joke.
It was.
I'm glad you pointed that out.
It was a distracting joke.
Yeah.
Hey, you just got to swing
your comments until the end.
You just got to swing the bat, dude. I'm going to swing again.
It'll come. It'll come a little more naturally next time. Yeah.
I made a bad joke on Mind Pump.
Yeah. That was a fail. Yeah. That was a fail. I'll start tracking
you. Chalk that up for another failure.
Okay. All right. I'll get through my fail here and we'll get back to that. So I basically blew my chance to go to a couple schools because of this. And it wasn't until I did a lot of convincing and talked to the coaches and a couple of people at San Jose State that I got accepted into the school. And even then I was just a walk-on, right? So I'm a walk-on, not guaranteed any kind of scholarship, any of that. I actually got a scholarship, which ironically I got a scholarship for my academics from this other my dad's work, actually. I qualified for it and I applied for it and I got this grant. And so I ended up going to school at San Jose State and was a walk-on. And so as a walk-on, you are a piece of shit. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. Any of you walk-ons out there trying to make it on
Got a big Division target on your back or what?
Yeah, well, they just – the thing is they put you through the meat grinder because they just want to, like, go through everybody to see who's really serious and who's going to put in the work to play at this higher level. And to be honest, it was a lot higher level than, you know, I was ready for. And I was just still little. You know, I just came – I was coming out of high school and probably like 185, maybe 190 on a, you know, on a good day. And so I'm going against these killers, these guys that are like, you know, 250, you know, 300 pounds, like fast as fuck. You know, my fastest 40 time at the time was like, you know, 4.9, you know, which is the slow as dog shit.
And
yeah, like, but I was really fast on the field, very fast game speed. You know, I totally prided myself in that and smarter than everybody else. Like I did a lot of studying, you know, and knew, you know, my place on the field, you know, knew how to get proper angles, made a lot of tackles. But they didn't give a shit about that. They just cared about my numbers. And so I went through this whole process where they just put you through the grinder. You have to go through these 6 a.m. morning workouts. And then they just try and beat you until basically submission. And then you get tested every now and then on your 40 to see if your time is increasing. And then, you know, in the weight room, I was killing everybody. I was doing a lot more weight than anybody. So they actually, the strength conditioning coach was like, yeah, you got a real good shot at this. You know, just let's get your speed up. And I went through this whole process. We get to the very end. It's spring ball. You know, I have the head coach and everybody like, yeah, you know, here's your time. You got to shine, you know, and all this stuff. And to be completely honest, I got convinced to drink the night before. And I went into this like a little bit like hungover.
What?
Like an idiot. An idiot.
Just bad choices.
Just bad choice. Horrible choice. Young kid.
Epic fail.
Right? So then I go into this. Fail. I'm running a 40 diagonally. I ran my 40 like it, I off the line. I was running and it was like in a diagonal line. It wasn't even like perfectly straight. If I would have ran perfectly straight, I probably would have got like, you know,
a better
4.8, yeah. 5, you know, 4.8.
So they look at you afterwards, they, well, you broke a record today. It's not the fastest time. It's actually the slowest fucking time we've actually ever tracked before.
Seriously, like the coach was like, okay, do this again and try running straight. You know, and like trying to coach me on it. It's like, and I'm trying to do it, and like I just kept failing. And the strength conditioning coach is like, I'm sorry, man. You know, you didn't make it. You know, you didn't make the team. And I just remember just being crushed.
Wow.
And I was just like, fuck. I put like.
Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't cry. Sal would have cried.
No.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I almost cried right now.
I cried.
I feel bad right now.
I cried. Probably, you know, when I was done with my football career, I cried.
Of course,
sure.
See,
but
it's okay to cry.
But
Adam cries when he has sex.
I didn't cry after that because I was so pissed at myself. Like I let myself down.
Mm-hmm.
And but it led to more opportunities. I ended up playing rugby after that, and it was great. And then some coach was talking to my dad and. You know, wanted to, he's like, oh, he plays football, blah, blah, blah. Gave him my film. And then I ended up playing out in Chicago with a scholarship. So, you know, it was just like.
It worked the way it was
worked out,
to.
You know. And then I got a whole new experience and opened up like just, I don't know. Like if I wouldn't trade it for the world, but at the same time, I was crushed.
Of course. Well, your story is great because it points out something. And what it points out is that many times what's in our way is ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd say pretty much every time I've ever screwed up, it was because something that I did or didn't do, or because of the attitude that I had, or because I wasn't, you know, putting the effort or the, you know, the positivity, or I wasn't feeling confident. I'd say that we are our own biggest obstacles 9 out of 10 times. You know,
that's a great point.
Time. Yeah,
that's a great point.
Yeah.
Well, something that I think, and that's why I was searching for that with Sal's story is, I feel like, I mean, there's tons of these small failures in our life that probably felt, you know, huge at the time for us, but they always seem to open another door because of the attitude that we take towards it, and it's kind of like, so
it's not easy. Let's be honest. That attitude. Is sometimes it's not just like natural. It's not like I fail and then naturally I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to fucking learn from
Yeah,
it.
No.
You have to look like literally. I mean, this is the first time I think I've ever told anybody ever. I don't even think I've ever told my wife this. I will look in the mirror, look at myself and talk to myself. I'll look in the mirror. Literally.
Sometimes you have to do that.
Major, like, yeah. You know, like that recent one I told you about, I had to look at myself in the mirror every morning and say to myself, you will succeed.
Mm-hmm.
This was just a minor setback. You're going to learn from this and you're going to make it happen. And I had to like say it out loud and talk to myself because it takes practice. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen naturally.
It's the reason why the word committed is tattooed on my forearm. It's for me, that's a reminder always. Like when I set my mind to something, I don't give a shit what it is, whether it be sports, whether it be business, relationship, doesn't matter. Like if I make a decision in my head, like this is what I'm going to go after, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to find a win. It may not be the way I thought it was going to be or planned out, just like you with the whole, you know, you had this envision, oh, I'm going to have this studio. It's going to be like this. It's going to be like that. Like, I don't know how many times I've started after something. And I mean, fuck, even Justin and I, the way we start a business and how the, yeah. I mean, the Mind Pump is an example of multiple failures of him and I doing stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But like, we never looked at it as, and I would bring those up, but like there's still part of the culmination of what Mind Pump is.
Of course.
You know, and like there's still attached to what we're doing. But yeah, we've gone through so many things where we're like, oh my God, I know nothing about this area. Yeah. But fuck it, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Because I believe in you. You believe in me. You know what I mean? And then we just get exposed to other awesome people along the way. And it develops into something that was supposed to be anyway.
Well, when people see that we put zero fucks on our shirts, they think it means that we walk around and, you know, whatever, like cocky. No, zero fucks means that.
Yeah.
It means a lot of times you're not going to know. You're not going to be confident because you've never done something before. But you don't give a shit anyway. That's the attitude you go in with. Like, I don't care.
Well,
I'm going to do it anyway.
And a couple things. Lane Norton said this, and it's one of my favorite things I've ever heard him say, is that, you know, when you're building a business like that, it's the battle of attrition. And very few people can handle that battle. You know, everybody expects they're gonna go after this, you know, new business or new venture, and that, you know, if they do X, Y, and Z, it's gonna equate to, you know, oh, success, and the business will start running. And it never works out that way. It's almost always that it takes longer, that it costs more money, that it's more difficult than you could have ever planned it was going to be. And if you go into those scenarios with that mentality and you expect it to be challenging, you expect to fall, then I feel like it will never really be a complete failure, because even those small failures will end up turning into something else. Because, and that's the whole mentality of the committed. I'm committed to everything that I do because I will not fucking stop. It may end up transforming into a podcast and a radio show. And if you asked me 2 years ago, I would have told you, I would have no clue that's where it was going to evolve to, but it really is an evolution of what something that got started over 2 years ago when, you know, Justin and I first started doing business together in fitness. So, you know, I feel like every scenario, all the failures I have to tell you ended in something like that, you know, whether it be a business that was successful, or I always like to talk about too, and I've shared this with you guys before, your net worth is your net circle. I love that saying. Because relationships are so important to me. And I feel like a lot of times I'll do something that, you know, may seem like a failure to somebody else because it didn't pan out business-wise, or I didn't make millions of dollars off of it. But if I built strong relationships because of it or from it, to me, that's just as successful as the business turning out.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how many times that later down the road, that relationship ends up paying off somewhere else, maybe with a different business, or ends up getting you a job somewhere else. And I know for sure you guys know that. I've shared that with you guys before.
Oh, that's very true. It's always about who you know.
Yeah.
And very little is about what you know.
And it sounds cliche, right? Because everyone's heard that before. But how many people really go into that when they go into a business, or think about that when they meet somebody like that? I always value my relationships and value the people that spend the time to give me their time, or to help give a lending hand to me, or do business with me. Like and it's very hard. It's hard because the bigger you get and the more relationships you have, the harder it is to manage that. You know, it's not that easy to always get back to this person via email or text message or phone call, or, you know, as that net circle grows, so does the commitment to trying to stay up with all of them. Mm-hmm. So, right. But I can't stress how important that is in being successful.
Well, I think it's there's really, you know, you have to look at a challenge, and you have to be able to circle around and somehow, not necessarily place the blame on yourself, but find something that you didn't do that you could do next time. That's the learning experience. Mm-hmm. I hate, you know, when people, or even myself, you know, will do something and it doesn't necessarily succeed, and then it's about the blame goes on something, someone uncontrollable. Oh, it was the economy, or the market changed, or, you know, it wasn't a nice day, or, you know, people were... I mean, those are things you can't control. And what am I going to learn from that anyway? What am I going to learn from? If I say my business didn't succeed because the market wasn't good, what the fuck does that mean? Like, mm-hmm. What can I learn from that? Yeah. Okay, now what? What next? Try and guess when the market is good?
You see
what I'm saying?
I see a sign of weakness anytime I see someone talk like that.
Right.
Anytime someone tells, if I ask you like, oh, hey, how'd that go? Or, oh, what happened with this you're doing with that? And you respond to me like all these outside forces, like you said, the market, or, oh, this, or, oh, it didn't work out because of this person. Like, they point the finger everywhere else. Like, you always know somebody who either one is going to be successful or already is, because they always take ownership. Mm-hmm. On every failure, anytime something doesn't work out, it's always like, you know what? I didn't have the time. I didn't put the time into making this happen, or, you know, I gave up this. You know, it's always I didn't do something, or I did something for it to cause that. You know, right. What I'm saying? That ownership.
And just to take it to fitness, you know, a lot of people out there trying to get in shape, lose weight, especially weight loss, or even building muscle. It's not a linear, you know, success. It's. You know, littered with failures.
Yeah. Oh yeah, five steps forward, 10 back.
Yeah, and
three more forward, 10 more back.
And you have to learn from those things. You have to say to yourself, "Well, you know what? I was doing so well. I lost 15 pounds. I gained 10 pounds back because I, you know, I gave in on. I decided to have cheat days, or I started going out again and just started hanging out with the wrong people, or it wasn't a priority for myself anymore. Those are the kinds of things you want to say and learn from, not it's my genes. My genetics, yeah. Or, you know, it's just, it's just hard. I fucking hate that. That is the stupidest. That is the stupidest excuse in the world. And you know what? Everybody says it. It's hard. No shit. It's hard. Okay. So I mean, it is hard. So what? Like, what's it? Would it be awesome if it wasn't hard? How great would success be if it was easy?
Right.
There are so many parallels in fitness and in business. I think they're so similar. I mean, and when you look at some of the people that really, really grasp that, like I think of right away, like the Joe Donnellys, the Craig Capersos, they get that. You know what I'm saying? They get that it is like that, which is why they are in supreme fitness shape, and then they're extremely successful in business too, because they get the parallels and they understand that it takes the same type of commitment, the same type of sacrifice, the same type of ownership in what you do. You gotta own that shit, you know. And just like you said, so many weak-minded people are so quick, you know, the whole accountability ladder, right? They're so quick to blame others and point the finger.
Well, it takes a certain level of maturity and courage. It's what it does.
Well, you can't be arrogant either. I mean, no. Like going into these challenges, like you have to be really, like you have to constantly be humbled, because you know, if you're going in like and something doesn't work out the way that it always has, or you know, it's unpredictable in a sense, like you have to be able to you know, be resilient, be able to bounce back from this adversity, because you're gonna face a lot of obstacles. And if you feel like, you know, everything is always gonna work out on this projected, you know, line, like I ran out a business plan, which business plans are hilarious to me because none of that shit is ever panned out in the
it never looks like the plan. Never.
Ever. And bankers love that shit. They're like, oh, well, I want to see it all under your projections for this. Guess what? You know, like the only way that all that is going to happen is blood, sweat, and tears and going through failure. Failure is what creates, you know, this next level of accomplishment. And if you're not willing to go through the fire, then it's just not going to happen.
Well, you said the whole arrogant, you know, comment. That's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah.
If you're so arrogant that you feel like you can never fail, mm-hmm. when you do fail, it can't
It'll
be my
destroy
fault.
You.
Well, no, it can't be my fault.
Yeah.
It's everybody else's fault.
Oh,
I can't fail.
Yeah,
I'm not a failure. So you have to, there's a certain level of personal responsibility that you have to accept. And this takes some maturity, because it is difficult. It takes a lot of courage to say the reason why I'm not where I want to be is because of me, because now I'm responsible. Mm-hmm. That takes a lot of courage. It's easy to say the reason why I'm not the way where I want to be because of someone else. That's easy because I don't
my
have
my partnership failed because my partner did this and that and this and that to me. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, what did you provide?
Right, right.
You know, what could you have maybe done better?
Right, yeah. Or maybe you picked a bad partner and you decided to stick with them when you should have not.
Well, I love ownership. I love that you Justin touched on humility, because I don't know if you remember Justin or not, but I used to preach this to the trainers all the time, that in order to be a successful trainer, you have to have this super balance of being super confident, borderline almost cocky, mm-hmm. at the same time super humble.
Yeah.
To me, it's one of the most dynamic balances that you have to
like
be able to have.
Walking contradiction, but it totally works.
It is. You got to have both. You have to have this confidence about you, but then at the same time, you got to be able to humble yourself, and that's hard to do. It's hard to have both. You tend to have one or the other. And I used to see this all the time with trainers. And if you only got one or the other, you don't ever really make it. Like you end up, if you're the super cocky guy, like maybe for a little while you make it, but then end up blowing up in your face, you know? Mm-hmm. Or if you're the super humble person, yeah, you know, everybody really likes you, but you kind of suck at what you do. You know what I'm saying?
You
it's
never
like,
produce.
Yeah. So finding that balance of being super, super, you know, confident in yourself, but at the same time too, being humble, you know?
Well, I think that really is the recipe why we've all done what we've done. Cause I believe each one of us has that, you know, it's, and maybe some swayed a little more on the scale of cocky, or you know,
you
on the
say
humble
it, bro.
Over
could,
here, bro. But
you could say it. You could say it, because we all know that everybody listens are just like, yeah, Adam's the ego, cocky, this and that. You know,
yeah, but people know you. You know what I mean? That know you that you're a humble guy.
No, I think that's part of your comedy. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not you. It's not you. It's your part of your comedy, and it comes across that way.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a caricature.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, you don't come across as a cocky asshole. Just an asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Yeah.
Just kidding.
An approachable asshole.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I love nothing more than to be humbled. I mean, honest to God, I love meeting someone and being blown the fuck away. Well, you and say, even being proven wrong.
Yeah. Well, right? you say it all the time that you love your paradigm to be shattered. And I think that's another thing that's common between all three of us. I think we all kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
I think we all, you know, even the things that we feel the most confident about that we're so certain, you know, that, oh, this is how it's going to play out, this is going to be. It's like, and then it blows up in your face and it's like, oh, wow.
Well, bro, it's interesting. I learned something today. Yeah, I feel like I've learned a lot just from both you guys, you know, in general. And I feel like
you're
part of that is
you're
that. Yeah, actually, more from Adam, but sexual.
Boom.
But what I'm, I feel like that whole. I want to be a constant student, right? I want to always learn, and that's the. This is how you grow.
Ooh,
let's
great,
just be honest.
Another great point.
Growth happens when you have to have that humble aspect where you're a student. Right. If I'm next to somebody who is really strong in one area, but maybe I think they're stupid in others, I'll still learn from the area they're strong in.
Absolutely.
So absolutely. Everybody's got something to teach me.
That is such a phenomenal point, and that goes back to the whole confident and humility thing, right? Because people that are really confident have a hard time doing that. And I could think of some confident people right off the top of my head that we all have relationships with, that when they meet another really confident, successful person, instead of, you know, being humbled and wanting to pick and learn from that person, they feel threatened.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
feel threatened, right. And then they're closed-minded. And it's such a shame because it's like, wow, you're around somebody who could really help you grow in an area that you're trying to work on or focus on, and yet you're so stubborn about how intelligent and how smart you are, which you are. You're a very intelligent, smart fitness guy or girl, but yet you have
well,
that getting in the way.
Have
you're
you guys,
blinders
you guys,
on.
You guys have heard the term cognitive dissonance?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So this is a psychological phenomenon when your beliefs, you know, all of our beliefs, right? Everything you believe makes up who you are. And when somebody presents you information that is opposite of your beliefs, in order to understand and accept those new beliefs that are now been proven correct, you have to be confident enough in yourself to be able to shatter who you are, to break down who you are. If you're not willing to, you know, go in a cocoon every once in a while and emerge something different, then you're never going to grow. And you're never going to succeed. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to go, and it's painful. Nobody wants to shed their skin.
Right.
It is a very painful thing. It was painful for me to learn that eating a certain way didn't produce muscle building, or that body part splits weren't effective for me, for example. It was painful. Why? Because I had taught it for so fucking long.
Right.
So now all of a sudden it's who I am. Now you're coming at me with this new information, and the first thing I'm going to do is say, no, fuck you, you're wrong. You have to be wrong. I have to be right. There's no way I could be wrong. But you have to, you know, look for it. You have to search for that paradigm shattering that, okay, well, let me look and see what this evidence is. And wow, that is completely contrary to everything that I've ever known. And when you can go into that, it feels awesome.
Right.
It feels great because then you know what's on the other end of that. What's on the other end of that is growth. The other end of that is, everything that was difficult for you before becomes easier. When you can accept these types of things, this new information, or you know, these challenges, and learn from them, there is no limit to how far you can go. And that's an amazing feeling. But it is not an easy thing to do. It is absolutely not
Definitely
an easy
not
thing
easy.
To do. Uh-huh. No. No. I mean, imagine if someone came at you and said, you know, Sal, we've got some evidence, or you know, Justin, we've got some evidence that, you know, leg extensions build muscles more than squats.
I'd be like, uh-huh. Man.
Yeah, right? Right?
I've been talking so much shit.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? We would have to get on this podcast and tell everybody. And we would. Yeah. We would do that. But a lot of people wouldn't. A lot of people wouldn't do that.
No, of course not.
And, ladies and gentlemen, that last statement was not true, by the way. Leg extensions do not build more muscle than squats.
This is why we still are just like, ha, you're dumb.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, I guess, it in a nutshell. Is your failures, you know, go into something knowing you're going to succeed, that you're going to bust your ass. And if it doesn't work, know that you can get back up on your feet and you can go for it again.
It's almost like a race to see how many failures you can get under your belt to become super successful. It's like, how many walls can I run into before I finally break through? Right,
bro. Here's the deal.
That's it.
It's like getting into a fight,
spreading your seed.
It's like getting into a fight with a tough, formidable opponent, which is life. And thinking to yourself, you're not going to get punched in the face.
Or get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
You're going to get your ass kicked a lot of times.
It's going to happen. You're going to get hit.
But you're
going to
be tough as nails after you get your ass whooped about 50 times.
Man. That's right.
Yeah. You know?
Look at Doug.
And I'll start headbutting your punches.
He's tough. Don't forget to rate and review us, and leave some good ratings and reviews for us, please.
Please.
We love it.
Love it.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.